Damn it. I've missed two good lines now, and I will not miss another one. The recording is on.
Okay. Do you need silence? Hello?
I was giving you, that's fine. That's enough.
Okay. Good enough. Damn it.
That was beautiful. Like we've got this to a science.
It was golden.
Oh, that really is not good, Alan.
It's my job to tell the bad jokes, Alan. Come on. Can I just say that I love that our Squirrel Report followers on Facebook post. I love that. I smile every time because it's just, that's awesome.
I feel like I need a little pat on the back for my pun this week.
Absolutely.
Because I thought it was totally inspired.
It was definitely dad joke worthy.
It was, yeah.
Well, now you're going to have to explain it because not everybody.
Well, Jay is, you know, the inside joke with Jay and I is like I'm always trying to get him to eat real food and he's always eating. Yeah, not that hummus isn't real food, but like, you know, it's like what you eat when you don't have meat.
Right.
In my opinion, you know, like, okay. Anyway, so for this has been going on with me and Jay for years, him and
yes,
his hummus.
Yes, it has.
And so I saw a recipe, and June is Pride Month. Happy Pride Month to all of our, I don't know, LGBTQTP.
All our proud people.
All of the people who are proud of themselves, happy Pride. I am also proud of myself.
And
congratulations.
Breed is not lion.
Ha, ha, ha. So, anyway, so I saw a recipe for hummus, and it was like rainbow hummus, and you mix hummus, and you add certain things to get different colors, and you put it in like a rainbow, and so I posted the link in the Squirrel Report page on the Facebooks, and Jay said he loves all types of hummus. And I asked him, I said, so would you say you are a homosexual?
Well played.
Come on, that was great.
That was good.
Anyway, how was your week, everybody?
That's pretty good.
That was underwhelming.
Yeah. I had to go to the dentist and not do anything.
Ooh.
Because I took my daughter to the dentist. There's the only thing worse than going to the doctor and sitting in the waiting room is going to the doctor and sitting in the waiting room for somebody, not you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes. It's like there's no payoff.
Yes. There's no, yeah.
Doesn't she have a license, Alan, so she could drive herself to the dentist?
Yeah, unfortunately, she's under 18. So the responsible payer must be there.
Responsible payer, not the parent, the payer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotcha.
So was the TV on in the waiting room?
Oh, God, yes.
With the sound?
Yes. On the Home and Garden Channel.
Oh.
Which is apparently should be renamed the Real Estate Channel.
Yes.
Because that's all it is.
Like flipping houses and redecorating houses and stuff.
That's all it is. And they have insane stuff. Like, it's like, you know, this is, you know, this married couple with their, you know, whatever, 1.5 kids. And, you know, we're going to, you know, we can't decide if we want to remodel our house or buy a new one. And they're like, well, what's your budget? Well, we want to stay under $500,000. And at that point,
yes,
I'm
sure
care.
They'll be able to find something.
You know, it's.
Oh, we're looking for a vacation home. We're hoping to keep it under $700,000. I'm like, what?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's.
We're going to do a slight remodel. We've budgeted $280,000. Like, what are you doing? Replacing your faucets with gold?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and if it's not that, it's the other way. Or somebody had like this laundry list of like extensive remodeling they wanted on their house, like new bathrooms and a kitchen remodel and bigger rooms and all this kind of stuff. And the contractor's like, so what's your budget? And they're like, $35,000. And the contractor just laughed.
So they dropped off a 1988 Southwind RV and left. Here's your addition.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can throw a tarp over it.
Yeah, that's about what it'd be. So anyway, after a few hours of that, you're just...
You know, the trick is to, like, sidle up to the TV. Because I've done this. The last time my mom had some sort of, like, procedure done in the hospital, and she had to be put under, and I had to wait in the waiting room. And I think, like, the Today Show was on or something.
Oh, no. That's even worse.
Which is just, I mean, that show is appalling. People, you know, the thing with that show is that people, like, clap for everything. I mean, every asinine thing that a person utters out of their mouth, people clap. But so I was sitting there, and it was, there were like kind of like little alcoves, like sections of this waiting room, and each section had a TV in it, and it was the same channel on each TV, but like multiple TVs. So I made a point to kind of like rotate through the little alcoves, and I turned off the volume. It was bliss, you know, and finally, like, the chatter was ended. It was bliss. But, like, you know, you have to kind of, like, sidle up to the TV and kind of look around and make sure the receptionist isn't looking, and kind of just very subtly turn down the sound.
Did you hear the Mission Impossible theme music playing?
I kind of did. I kind of did.
Well, that's a time when you're invisibility. Really helps.
Yes. Out. Yeah, my invisibility cloak.
The worst thing is this particular dentist, they have a TV that plays like when you're in the chair.
Oh no.
And I always tell them to turn it off. And they look
at me. You can't escape.
They look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, "Can you please turn that off?" And they're like, "What? You don't want it on?" I'm like, "No."
Is it hanging on the ceiling so you can look at it?
It's actually like hanging on this like articulated arm that hangs down. It's like
it's the TV of Damocles.
It is. It's just hanging there over you.
My dentist has the same thing, and I always look up and I'm like, I really hope a competent contractor installed that, because man, that would be unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't. It just irritates me. And the last thing I want when I'm sitting in the dentist chair is be even more irritated than I already am.
Anyway. Even more irritated. Extra irritated.
Extra irritated. That's right. You want me to calm down, not...
You know what? I could use a Valium IV. There we go.
I had nothing exciting this week. I think Alan's dentist story is the most exciting thing this week.
Oh. I just had a very... Productive.
I'm trying to think back, like, what happened over the weekend? Really nothing. You know, like, we are absolutely not having summer this year. We had 2 days of, like, hot weather, and now it's back down in the mid-70s, which is nice, don't get me wrong, but it definitely is not feeling like summer.
It's officially summer today, isn't it?
Yes, today's the first day of summer. Happy solstice, everybody.
Right, from now on, the days only get shorter.
I know. I was thinking about that actually today, and I was thinking how long after the first day of summer does my winter PTSD kick in? I start getting panicky. I start getting like, oh God, it's gonna be winter soon. Winter is coming. I start feeling the pressure of it.
The first moment you notice it getting darker earlier.
Yeah, probably.
That's when it'll kick in. The minute you look out the window and go, damn, is it dark already? And then you'll be like, oh, man.
Oh, no. Yeah.
The first time you're like, oh, my God, I got to get to bed. It's like midnight. And it's like 7:45.
What happened?
You're like, oh, I've been up for so long. I should really get to bed. What?
Oh. Things did happen in the news this week, though.
Things.
Yeah, they did.
Lots of things. Yes.
I got it.
Where should we start?
Well, I just wanted to say real quick that for not being Hillary, man, Trump is like raising the bar for not being Hillary. He's gone so far beyond not being Hillary. It's crazy. The latest thing that made me happy was the decision where to merge the departments of education and labor.
That really surprised me.
And some teachers union wag was saying, well, you know, normally I might support this. I'm paraphrasing. She's like, normally this might be a good idea because of the, you know, the synergy between education and labor and all that kind of stuff. But with this administration, I just can't support it.
Yeah. Okay. Anything Trump does, it does not matter what he does. It's going to be Nazi Trump.
Right in line with Bill Maher hoping the economy crashes so we can get rid of him.
Yeah, that was pretty egregious. You can not like a president and you can hope, you know, I mean, let's face it. I wasn't a big fan of Obama, but at no time did I hope that the economy would suck for everyone.
Right.
Just so Obama wouldn't get reelected.
Crash and wipe out people's life savings just so that someone with the wrong letter after their name wouldn't win.
Right.
Well, no, we kind of figured it would happen.
Well, it did.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I mean, like, Mike and I suffered pretty bad when Obama first got elected. And it's just now. I mean, I don't know if it's a Trump economy or just the years in between that we've been able to, you know, we feel like we're catching up. You know what I mean? Ooh. It was tough for a lot of people during the Obama administration.
Well, that was because of George Bush. So, he told us for 6 out of his 8 years that it was Bush's fault. So
right. Yeah.
Well, they had a poll that said people have the highest number, highest percentage of people think the country's headed in the right direction in the last 15 years.
Yep.
Which, you know, 2005 or 6?
Yeah.
It's got to be the media, because the media is just, you know, so.
They're so positive towards Donald.
My favorite was the story of the little boy in the cage.
Yeah.
There was like, oh, Trump's so awful. Look at this poor little boy in a cage. And
he's crying. It's so horrible.
It was like a Twitter explosion. I mean, that thing was all over the place. And then somebody else posted pictures of the same child in the
wider shot.
The wider shot showing that he was actually standing in a fake protest cage by anti-Trump demonstrators.
Like, oh, we forgot to mention that part. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, oops. Boy, is our face red. But again, you know, the story's on the front page through attractions on A27.
Right.
You get that. You know, at some point, you have to think it's intentional.
Well, it's absolutely intentional.
You have to think. They know exactly what they're doing. They know that they come out with, no matter what it is, no matter how outrageous it is. I mean, at this point, they are no better than the tabloids you see in the supermarket checkout. And I know I just showed my age with that one. But, you know, it's like they're on par with Bat Boy. You know, it's like, you know, President Trump eats children live on television. And, oh, actually, no, he didn't finish his beats, you know, but eats children beats close enough. Anybody could have made that mistake.
You know, that's funny that you bring that up, but because I saw a thing today where one of the, you know, the reporters that follows the president around, they're like in the press pool or whatever the fuck they call it. She reported, and this is breaking news, folks. He was at some sort of luncheon and everybody had balsamic vinegar on their salad, like balsamic vinaigrette on their salad. But Trump appeared to have what appeared to be a larger container of what seemed to be ranch dressing.
It's two scoops of ice
cream. Breaking news. Yes, it's the two scoops of ice cream. Oh my God.
Dressing gate.
Yes. Our long national nightmare will be over.
I think it's hilarious that Trump eats like the 12-year-old. I think it's freaking hilarious. He's like all like Big Macs, chicken nuggets, and ranch dressing. I think it's so funny. Oh, and well-done steak. I, you know, come on. The guy is a weirdo, but
I'm
like,
surprised
hey.
You haven't shanked him over that.
Hey, you know, I can disapprove quietly, but, you know, he's a weirdo. Okay, fine, whatever. But it's just funny. Let Trump be Trump.
Oh no.
It's funny.
Can't allow that.
At least he's not like going around eating Wagyu beef with Michelle Obama and like, you know,
but that was okay.
That was okay. Yeah. The Wagyu beef. It was, you know, fancy. And you know what? The media photograph thing. I have yet to see a single photograph of Donald Trump with a halo behind his head.
Oh, God.
Despite being, like, I'm sure in places, like, everywhere that has a presidential seal hanging on the wall. How many of those do we see of Obama?
All of them.
Yeah. I'm sure he's aware of it. I'm sure he, like, made a point to stand in front of presidential seals as much as he could.
I wonder... of course, a lot of that is because Trump absolutely doesn't give a shit.
Right.
In fact, he's the opposite. What he's going beyond not giving a shit into, like, troll level not giving a shit. You know, he's like... I think a lot of what he does is intentional because he knows it'll just drive the liberals into a froth.
I'm sure it's part of it. You know, I mean, why should he care? I mean, it's not like he needs to get reelected.
No, he doesn't care. Actually, you know, he's at this point, the reelection is his for... You know, to lose. You know?
Yeah, I think so.
Because everything he does, the media goes, you know, does this like boy who cried wolf insanity, and everybody else in the country just goes, ugh.
Yeah. Why won't you cousin humping rednecks vote for us?
Yeah, and they just it's like I wouldn't be surprised if that was his plan all along. He's gonna like have this like slow simmering ramp up into the 2020 election that's just going to be like, he's going to make the press just go insane. And, you know,
who do you think they'll run? Like, just looking at it now, like who God. Do you think is their best bet?
Kamala Harris.
No, really? Oh boy.
She checks all the boxes.
I guess.
She's batshit insane.
I bet money Hillary will try to run again.
Oh God, please do.
How can she not? I mean, how can
she resist? My God.
I mean, you know she's going to have to. Her ego won't let her not try.
Oh God, it'd be so great.
That assumes she lives that long. We do not actually know if she is alive or dead.
No, we don't.
She's wearing a robot suit.
But, you know, I mean, robot Hillary, I mean, that's... You know.
Hey.
I mean, it's not like she was going to have an original thought anyway.
Yeah. She needs influence to peddle. Come on.
And then you got the Bernie factor.
We haven't discussed what's going on with Hillary in that back brace.
There's no brace.
Have you...
There's nothing to see here. Move along.
Uh-huh.
The news media that reports on every little perceived hiccup between Trump and Melania and everyone else and absolutely refuses to notice anything wrong with Hillary at all.
A giant back brace sticking out of her. Oh, and then she's wearing like full pantsuits and a scarf and a thing to cover everything up in like 85 degree weather.
Yeah.
She's wearing some sort of back brace now.
She's probably wearing one of those like Japanese like mobility things, you know, that help people walk around.
The robot suits.
Yeah.
Well, It's a powered suit. Come on.
Yeah.
She, the belief is that she has Parkinson's. And that the back braces is a common thing for people with Parkinson's because they lose control of their muscles and they lose the ability to keep their own torsos upright while standing. Ooh. And so they, you know, it's Parkinson's is terrible. And, you know, it kind of fits in with all the other weird symptoms that she's had over the past, you know.
The falling and.
Yeah.
The, you know, oh, I tripped running down the stairs. Right. Oh, sure you did.
She's not always drunk. Let's just say that.
With your wife, Morgan Fairchild. All right. All right. For the younger score report listeners, that was a John Lovitz bit from Saturday Night Live back when they used to be funny in the 1980s.
John Lovitz. Oh, yeah. John Lovitz. Conservative.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of conservatives.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody had a big coming out party.
Not really. No, kind of.
Go big. Well,
he came out as a Christian. I mean.
That's worse.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Do,
go ahead, Jay. Tell the story.
I was just going to ask if either of you watched Silicon Valley on HBO.
Yes.
No.
It is hysterical. Have you seen the most recent season?
Okay,
I won't spoil it for you. But they have a bit on this. It's a Mike Judge production. So if you're familiar, Mike Judge is the gentleman who brought us Beavis and Butthead.
Yay!
You know, you like fart jokes and that sort of thing, which I do. I'm not going to lie.
I love Beavis and Butthead.
If Silicon Valley, especially if you work in tech or know people that do, it's almost not funny because it's real. It's a lot like if you work in an office and cubicle environment, you can't really laugh at Dilbert because you see way too much that just, ooh, yeah, I'd like to laugh, but that's my life. And I've suggested Silicon Valley to a couple friends who are in tech, and they're like, you know, that really happens. It is a lot.
It's painful.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah, whoever the writers for that show have been around Silicon Valley startups and those things, what do they call them? Incubator things. And
incubator.
Yeah. Anyway, we were going to talk about Chris Pratt.
Yes.
Star-Lord himself.
Who
gave a really nice speech. What event was it for? It was some award thing, but I'm not sure.
We didn't do our homework.
Yeah, we didn't do our homework. Anyway,
It was. Oh, MTV Movie and TV Awards?
Okay. Well, even a more shocking audience to do that in front of.
Yeah.
But he gave a long, pretty good, I mean, well-written, well-delivered speech where he talked about, you know, God and Christianity and Jesus and all that kind of stuff that normal Hollywood people don't talk about. And I'm not like some sort of Hollywood watcher. I don't really pay attention to any of that stuff, but you know, you kind of know the ones that are religious and conservative because they're not in the big movies anymore. And it just, you know, I don't remember seeing him say or anything or do anything blatant in this regard. And I'm wondering if he feels comfortable, you know, he's got enough fuck you money that he doesn't have to worry about it anymore. And he can actually start being, you know, honest in Hollywood.
I just hope he's never touched, looked at, thought about, maybe brushed in passing a woman because they're going to destroy him. I guarantee you, if he has ever, if a female coworker didn't like his cologne, it's going to be, you know, well, he was obviously coming on and look for a concerted effort to destroy him. Just that's my guess.
That's a good guess, actually, and sad, because I really hope it doesn't happen, because he seems like one of the genuinely nice guys in Hollywood. You know, every woman who's ever worked with him so far has said, yeah, he's a great guy. Like, he's cool and he's a real guy. Right. But he's definitely not one of those Hollywood people. He loves to go hunting. He's very pro Second Amendment. He's Christian. He's an outspoken Christian. You know, and he doesn't fit in. And he's even gone so far as to say that Hollywood does not make stories for men like him.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of mockery for that, because, you know, all the feminists and minorities are like, oh, every movie is about white straight guys.
Yeah. Except when they're not.
Yeah. I mean, white straight guys in so much as, like, you know, action heroes and superheroes and Star Lords and sci-fi and that sort of thing, but like real men's stories, like, of, you know, aside from war stories, because, you know,
well, those are the only two categories you get to do that.
Yeah, really. I guess so. Yeah.
Cause anything else you can't.
Yeah. And there's nothing, I mean, unless you're, you know, most of the guys I know, you know, you two excluded, are not action heroes or, you know, superheroes. Just guys, you know, like, where are the guys' stories? And I don't think they exist. There's a lot of women's movies and a lot of, like, you know, romantic comedies are geared for women. And you don't ever really, I'm trying to think back, like, what is an actual guy's story as a movie? If any of our listeners, like, have any ideas about...
That isn't a war movie or a science fiction.
Not war, not science fiction, not superhero, but, like, a man's story. Not Brokeback Mountain. But, like,
the only one I can think of is the one where Brad Pitt had sex with the bear.
What?
Wasn't that
that was Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, Leonardo DiCaprio. DiCaprio.
Oh, my God.
I get those two confused.
Oh, Jeremy Johnson.
Yeah.
But I mean, can you guys think of a story? There's a lot of women's story movies.
Well, there used to be a lot of, like, the cowboy genre. It used to be really
well, manly. Yeah.
But they don't really do those anymore, unless it's a what do they call it? An anti-hero, you know, right, cynical right. kind of a thing.
And you could say Quentin Tarantino, because he's about the only one that does it. So
right, but in, you know, all those kind of movies, it's like it's the anti-hero, it's the criminal hero.
I'm drawing a blank. I'd love to know of one. You know,
I don't know. We have Tag. have you not
what?
Seen?
It's no.
A movie about a group of friends that plays a game of tag their whole lives. And here's the best part, based on a true story.
Oh, I read that. I read the story. I didn't know they made a movie out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a feel-good movie or a sad movie or a
you know, my
horror?
It's unsorted. I think it's a comedy.
Oh, okay. You
know, it's, you know, they tag each other and, like, you know, they jump out of the shower at each other and this, that, and the other thing, and who knows?
Okay. Oh, I see the trailer for it. Yeah, I'd never heard of that. But they just remade Ocean's 11, Ocean's 8, Ocean's... The Ocean film, right?
Yeah, Ocean 11 is
the heist. The whole cast is female.
See? Right. See, look at that. It went from Ocean's 11 to Ocean's 8, right there, 77 cents on the dollar. Boom.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. They kind of ghostbustered that one, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Although everybody who has said, who's seen it say, yeah, it's a really good movie.
Well, maybe it is.
I actually saw what I consider to be a pretty reasonable... What?
You got excited.
Yeah. Apparently. No, I actually saw a reasonable critique of this. It's not that they shouldn't make movies for women. It's that by just taking an existing movie and remaking it with a female cast, you're saying that a female cast can't sustain a movie on its own.
Right.
That borrow a framework established by a male cast in order to succeed.
True.
But that's what feminists do.
As George W. Bush said, the soft bigotry of low expectations. And it's kind of a hallmark of the left.
Yes.
That you can't succeed unless we put you into this pre-made cookie cutter background. You can't succeed unless we change the rules. You can't succeed unless we powerful white males fix it so you succeed.
I haven't seen the new Incredibles movie yet, Jay, but I know you have. Where does it fit into this? I'm pretty sure, well, at least the impression I get from the trailers is they make Mr. Incredible like the stay-at-home dad.
They do. And I really enjoyed it. I love Disney Pixar. I love The Incredibles. The Incredibles is in my top five, maybe even three films ever. I don't mean kids' movies. I don't mean animated. I mean period. And they did a very good job. I think they give you those parts in the trailers because they're the humorous parts. They don't dwell on it. It's really, you know, there's a little bit of ego, but that's kind of who Mr. Incredible is. And I thought they did a really good job. I won't give it away, but they explained really well why they chose Elastigirl to be the superhero.
Oh, okay.
You have to see it.
I'm looking forward to it.
They did it very well. It's not a lot, but it's analogous to the remakes. The one that I thought, I haven't seen it, so it could be utter crap, but the premise at least was solid, was the new National Lampoon's Vacation. And you may be scratching your head, but here's the thing. They have the son remembering the vacation he took with his family, with his dad, which was the 1983 film.
That might work.
So you give it a reason to exist. It's not we're just going to do it again and pretend you didn't see, most of the Marvel superheroes, let's not forget that they tried Spider-Man several times and they tried the Hulk several times and they tried the Fantastic Four and gave up. They got it right eventually. This is like, no, this is something that could happen and does happen probably thousands of times. You remember doing this? I took my kids to the same campground that I went to as a child because I enjoyed it and I wanted them to experience it. So I think you give even the thinnest veneer, I think people are willing to give it a shot. Instead of we're just going to do it again because it made money 30 years ago.
There has to be a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking that they just don't make movies like that anymore.
No.
It's superhero, and I've mentioned before, I am just sick to death of the whole superhero thing. It's just, please, Hollywood, please give it a rest. Did you see where Disney's delaying or canceling a lot of the Star Wars stuff they had planned to roll out?
Oh, they were milking it to death.
Well, yeah, but everybody was like, oh, Jesus, not another Star Wars. Oh, my God. And I think the superhero movies are getting this. People are getting sick of it. It's like, oh, God, not another.
Yeah. I mean, people want a story. People, it's getting old. I mean, it was like, it was cool in the beginning because, oh, all this CGI and we can do anything now in movies. But where's the stories?
Yeah, I put the question in Facebook a while back. Is at what point does a movie stop being live action? At what level of CGI does a movie stop being live action? Because they've made movies where the only live action was a human in one of those little ping pong ball suits in front of a green screen.
Right.
And that's it.
Andy Serkis can only carry a movie so far.
Well, yeah. I mean, what, you know, we're, you know, I mean, we're special effects. I mean, we're blasé about special effects, you know.
Right.
It doesn't, you know, ooh, a cool special, an over-the-top, ridiculous, impossible special effects sequence does not excite anyone anymore. You know, remember back in the days when you were like a kid and you'd watch a movie for the great car chases and stuff like that, and it was actual cars. You know how many? Remember reading about how many cars they destroyed during the Blues Brothers?
Blues Brothers, exactly.
Like hold, I think it still holds a record for the most number of cars destroyed during the making of a movie,
and the most amount of cocaine consumed.
But they don't do that anymore. It's
getting lazy. I'm kind of hoping that it hits a point of oversaturation and they get back to having to actually write stories again. Because if everybody can come out with these incredible Avatar-like settings, we're just going to start yawning. And you're going to have to bring back a story and writers. And
what was that movie just recently? And had Bumbleding Cumber Snatch in it. What's
Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange. Yes. I saw Doctor Strange, and honestly, there's like this whole section at the end of the movie where he's like kind of like floating through space, and it's like CGI, roller coaster.
Yeah.
Twinkly stars everywhere, and like this, it was the most boring thing I've ever watched. I was like, can we just turn this off? This is dumb. Like, where is the story here? It was dumb. I was upset. I was like, there's nothing here. It's just this guy kind of like on a green screen doing stuff. Like, who cares? It was horrible. What's the name of that movie? Doctor Strange?
Yeah, Doctor Strange.
Can we do true confessions here?
Yes.
Okay.
I felt the exact same way watching Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Oh, wow.
I'm like watching all this trippy shit going on, and I'm like, I'm bored. I'm going to be a win. Bye.
Where's the story? Okay, we get it. Yay. Yeah, trippy like, shit.
You know, in context, yes, it was the 60s and the space program. But, you know, okay, yeah. No, Bob, let's go get wings.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you got it. Well, it's another case of you know, you have to put it in context. And even in context, Kubrick went nuts with the slow pacing of that movie.
Yeah.
They could have cut an hour out of that movie easily and not lost a bit of utility, you know. It does not play well the modern, you know,
attentions.
Yeah. Well, watch any of those old movies like that, and a lot of them are slow paced. You know, especially you know, pre Citizen Kane movies.
You mean pre talkie?
No, but you know, That's why the movie, you know, all the film people, they always talk about Citizen Kane because it was such a groundbreaking film because of the techniques and the, you know, all that kind of stuff that had never been done before. And now everybody does them. So it's, you don't look at Citizen Kane now and you go, yeah, it's a movie. But if you'd have watched it you know, when it came out and having never seen anything like that before, you would have been blown away. And to a certain extent, 2001 was like that. You know,
yeah.
It, that stuff, that kind of stuff had never been seen before. And Kubrick milked it maybe too much. But at the time, it was, I saw it, you know, I was six and was like blown away. Of course, I was six. So
you were six when Citizen came out?
No, 2001. It was, you know, it was a lawsuit. But, you know, you can say the same thing about Star Wars, the original Star Wars episode, you know, that wasn't episode four until there was a second episode.
Yeah.
You know, when it came out, it was like, holy crap. And you go watch it now and you're like, oh, God. This is
yeah.
It just doesn't hold up.
You know, though, in all honesty, the effects for what they were and when they were, pretty damn good.
And almost no digital effects.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, yeah, if you came out with that now, you'd be like, oh, God, please. Yeah, that's
it was all done with models and miniatures, right. And even like the blasters and lightsabers were drawn.
Right.
They weren't computer, they weren't CGI in the original.
So. You know, I default to Star Trek. Because when you know, you had the original series with the, you know, Kirk chewing every scenery ever.
You're an original series guy.
I original series and Deep Space Nine. I really like Deep Space Nine because the Next Generation was, we have computers and a special effects budget. Pew, pew, pew.
Right. Yeah.
And with a dash of Social Justice Warrior.
You know, and, I was, sorry, Jay, I was going to interrupt.
Oh, I was just going to say, whereas Deep Space Nine was like, okay, we've had the effects. We've had the pew, pew, pew. Let's get back to writing.
I saw the Next Generation.
No one's going to bring up Babylon 5.
I was going to bring it up.
Okay, bring it up.
But hang on, I got to make a thing. I got to talk about the Next Generation first. Because I saw, what was the first one was like Encounter at Farpoint, right?
Yes, with Q.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Because Q is such a great character.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, if you know, this is going to be great. And then the second episode, I was like, what the hell is this? I remember Encounter at Farpoint. I don't even remember any other episodes except that Weasley little kid and and the stupid robot. I mean, it just, but yeah, like Brita said, Babylon 5 was, I remember when Babylon 5 ran for the first time and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the first, you know, everybody does it now where they do the season long.
Right.
Storylines. Babylon 5 was the first to do that.
I was never hugely into Babylon 5, and I just never got into it. Not like I didn't like it, but it struck me that it was more like people being people. It just happens.
Yes,
difference. Exactly it wasn't like we are this, you know. You know, Star Trek was like, we're explorers. Yay, us. And
socialist paradise. And,
We don't have any money. We have Starfleet.
Right. And that was the great thing about Babylon 5 is you had gambling. I mean, you had bars and you had people being people. And it's like.
You know what always struck me about Babylon 5, and this is a tiny little detail, but I just was like, oh my gosh, you got to see the men's room.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which if you think about it, come on, there's men's rooms in space.
Yes. And you never saw one in Star Trek, ever.
No, you never saw anything like that. And it just gave it like this realism that, I don't know, and just the whole storyline. Babylon 5 was written just to be a certain amount of seasons, and that was going to be the story, and that was that.
Right.
And I loved that because it felt complete. It never had like that, you know, when shows, they kind of like run their course, but they're still trying to do episodes, and it kind of loses the magic of it, and it loses the power of the story.
Yep.
You never had that with Babylon 5. The whole 6 seasons? I can't remember.
It was going to be 4, and then they shrank it to, it was going to be 5, and then they shrank it to 4, and then it did so well that they said, oh, we'll do 5 again. And by that time, he had already written the story end at the end of season 4.
So he had to add more.
And
but
then they had to add more. So season 5 kind of suffers a little bit because it was...
Not that much.
No, they recovered well, but it was...
Yeah. Well, anyway, I loved Babylon 5, and I say that as... I grew up with Star Trek and I loved Star Trek. I still love Star Trek, but Babylon 5 is.
And it's streaming on.
It is streaming right now on Amazon Prime if you want to watch it.
And generally, when Brita tells you a show is worth watching,
yeah,
it's definitely worth watching. Yes. So.
Can we get off of TV and say the.
Well, I was going to talk about what? Londo Mollari.
Oh, okay.
On the Centauri.
Yes.
Who used his prehensile penis to cheat at cards. And you got to see it in the episode.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
I mean, come on. Show that was a surprise.
That was a surprise, definitely.
Well,
he had a prehensile penis, yes.
I think the single most unbelievable thing on Star Trek was the holodeck.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
come on.
I mean, come on. You're telling me, of all the humans, all the horrible, just nasty people, nobody went into that holodeck with Kate Upton and her triplet sisters and refused to come out until they died of exhaustion. Come on. We're still human beings. You know that thing had a floor drain. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, Jay.
Yeah, the obvious uses were completely ignored.
They could have at least tipped their head a little bit, you know?
No, they never did. They never, you know, they never showed like some guy come walking out of it with his clothes in disarray, with sweat pouring off of him, going, "Oh man, what a night!" You know,
have Crusher walk in on Wesley. I mean, you want real? And there you go. You have a teenage son. I guarantee you.
Yeah, that would have. Yeah. Anyway.
Because every new technology is first used for porn.
Exactly. They actually have, you know, those VR goggles?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Is it Leisure Suit Larry?
I don't think so, but they're shooting 3D porn now for them.
Oh, I don't want 3D porn.
Gross. Ew.
Last thing I want is things coming out at me. Thank you very much.
Not only that, but I saw somebody was doing one with the 360-degree camera so you could, like, walk around the actors.
So 3D and 360. And
view them from, like, every angle or something.
Ew.
Well, they've got to do something because they thought HD was going to be the thing until you realize that you really don't want high definition because... There are very few human bodies that stand up to HD, you know?
Not without a lot of, you know, makeup and...
Well, and even set, then.
You know, and stuff that really doesn't work well.
Right. You get a lot of makeup caked on, and it's that 1080,
right.
You know, picks up every... You're like, oh, my... What is... Did they spackle her? Yeah. What?
Yes, they do spackle them.
Yes, they do.
I mean, in more ways than one, I guess.
That person has no pores.
She doesn't have a belly button. What the heck?
that's the android porn. Robot.
Data. Yeah. Anywho.
Yes.
We
never mentioned the 400 million guns.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like... A notable figure.
I'm thinking those are rookie numbers. We're gonna have to pump those stats up.
Well, also that's 400 million that they know about, which
that people have admitted to.
Yeah, it's probably higher.
Where is this report from? So A report published this month found civilians in the United States own almost 400 million guns. And my reaction was, that's the ones they know about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Small arms survey. Who? Oh, that's small arms. Wait.
Well, it's...
Does it count bigger stuff? Or I don't know.
Well, small arms is a military term for like pistols and rifles and stuff like
that. Oh, okay.
So it's not, it is explicitly not crew served weapons or weapon systems that require like tanks or trucks and stuff like
right.
that. It's just like, it's basically rifles and pistols.
Right.
Oh, okay. So, but if you follow the link over to smallarmsurvey.org, it says that there are more than 1 billion firearms in the world, the vast majority of which are in civilian hands.
Nice.
And I want them all.
And most of them in the United States.
America!
Yeah, we did.
Hello.
We did some number crunching during lunch, and it came out to be, if you take this number and you take the supposed, 36% of adults either have a gun or live in a house with guns, and you take the number of adults, and you come up with a number that's like 89 million. And
yeah.
if you divide the 400 million with the 89 million, you get about 4.5 guns per person, per adult in the U.S. So
now people like Jay make up for like all the grandmas with one snub-nosed revolver.
Right. Well, it's actually, I actually phrased that wrong. It's 4.5 guns per person who has a gun or lives in a house
right.
with a gun. So
right.
that's that 36%. So I think that number is grossly understated. And I think the 400 million is grossly understated.
Mm-hmm. But it's worth mentioning that American civilians own nearly 100 times as many firearms as the U.S. military.
Yes.
And nearly 400 times as many as law enforcement.
Yes. That made me so warm and fuzzy and happy.
I mean, that's... And yet, the streets are not running with blood.
Well, that also... Sorry, Jay?
Except in Chicago.
Yeah.
Well, Chicago, yeah.
But that also is a good example of, the people that go, oh, what's a civilian going to do against the military or the police? Well, 400 to 1, that's what it's going to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Ask the Italian army during World War II when they invaded Ethiopia. It took them 6 months when they were being fought with sticks.
Wow.
They had tanks and machine guns. Well, I mean, again, it's the Italian army. We're setting the bar low.
Yeah, but still. That was sticks. That wasn't a nation of that outarms you 400 to 1.
Right. Everyone's like, oh.
And is full of rednecks that are their weekend entertainment is, here, hold my beer and watch me blow this up.
I'm going to shoot a lawnmower filled with Tannerite. Hold on.
Yeah, I mean these you got guys that could weld up a tank in an afternoon.
here's a great statistic from this study. And this will also make you warm and fuzzy. It says the FBI reported processing more than 25.2 million gun-related civilian background checks in 2017. Which is more than the 22.7 million guns the Small Arms Survey estimates are currently held by every law enforcement agency in the world combined.
So in 1 year,
in 1 year,
millions bought more guns than every single cop on the planet possesses.
Yes.
I love that.
God bless America.
God bless America.
And interestingly enough, the country that comes in second?
Liechtenstein.
India.
Really?
With 70 million. I mean, it's a distant second, but still, it's second.
Mm-hmm.
Not the country I would have expected to come in second on that list.
I would have thought it would have been Russia.
Yeah, well, Russia wins the cops with guns number even more than
or the US. Switzerland.
Don't they maybe as a percentage, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Russia has a lot more. Their cops have they have more cops and more cops with guns than even the U.S.
Well, we know they can't drive. I've seen enough of their dash cam videos.
Oh, I love those.
Oh gosh,
it's a good way to lose hours on YouTube.
Russian dash cam
makes videos. Me anxious. Makes me anxious watching those. I can't watch them.
I like it. You see a highway in the snow that's basically unplowed, and some guy's going like 80, 90 miles an hour on the road, hauling ass.
Nevada, yeah, you know. Not like it's a truck, a four-wheel drive truck. It's a shitty little Eastern European. Just wah! Usually it's on three wheels, yeah. You know, because one of them blew off.
Going sideways.
That's great.
Rolls over 15 times, ejects 93 people, and they just put it back on its wheels and keep going.
Oh, that reminds me. Did you see the thing about the van that with the illegals in it that that wrecked and ejected like 15 people?
No.
100 miles an hour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Evading the police. Yeah.
Oh, but it's not illegal to be illegal.
It was like a minivan crammed full of illegal aliens, and they were trying to run from the cops.
Because Trump's Gestapo was going to put them in concentration camps. Didn't you listen to Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah.
I don't think that the Democrats are winning the illegal alien argument, because I think most of America, number one, doesn't give a shit, and number two, knows that this is not a new thing under Trump. They know that this has been going on since forever. And, you know, everybody remembers that when Obama was, you know, talking amnesty and letting illegals in and blah, 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 you remember that giant rush that they had of immigrants that came, mm-hmm. including families with children and children, lots of children alone. Remember right. that?
Yeah.
Lots of children by themselves. And, you know, having children in camps or whatever you want to call them is not a new thing. Obama did lots of it because he had lots of kids coming over by themselves.
Well, so, if you remember correctly.
And I think most people know that and they remember that. And they're like, this isn't new. This isn't like just a Trump thing. But Trump, and I got to say, it was kind of smart that he came out and he signed that bill or he signed that executive order. So it appears that he's actually doing something.
Well, he signed the executive order that said that the California judge has to change a ruling in a court case that said that kids can't be put in confinement with their parents that was based on a previous lawsuit. And what are the chances that's going to happen?
Well, it's unlikely, but it doesn't matter. He's seen to have been doing something.
Well, he did the classic, put the ball in their court. You know, sure. It's like, you know, all right, now put up or shut up.
Yep.
And they bitched, you know, it's like the, okay, we're separating kids from parents. Oh, Trump's awful. Trump's awful. Okay, we're going to let kids stay with their parents. Oh, Trump's awful. Trump's awful. It's like,
yep.
And the ruling, the laws that the rules that say kids can't be locked up with their parents is because a lot of those kids were coming over with people that weren't their parents. They were, you know, like child sex traffic victims and stuff like that. And they'd arrest them and they'd be like, oh yeah, we're here for amnesty. And they go and they talk to the kids and they go, who's this guy? And they're like, he's my dad. Yeah. And, you know, and it's complete bullshit. And so that's why they separate the kids from the adults. Not to mention that, you know, when you do a crime, you get separated from your kids.
Yeah.
They don't let kids in jail with their parents.
Yep. If my wife and I went out and robbed a bank together, we would go to jail and we would be separated from our children.
Yes.
You know, when you hear, you know, and you have to put the word illegal in because the media won't do it.
No, they won't.
Oh, these immigrants. You know what? If they were legal immigrants, this would be a non-story because there would be no separation because they wouldn't be awaiting deportation.
Right.
And being processed so that if they try it again, there could be harsher penalties. Because that's what it's all about. But if you replace illegal immigrant with bank robber, this becomes the dumbest story of all time.
Oh, yeah.
You should be like, yeah, they're separated from their parents because the parents went to jail. And
you want to be American.
there are channels to go through, and there are ways to do it properly. If you want to agitate that they should be changed, that's a completely different story. But no, much like, and I'll drag it around to my favorite single issue, Second Amendment. You want to make the case that, well, guns hurt people, so we're going to make them all legal. Go right ahead. Don't pull this, you know, we need to do this, that, and the other thing, because that's not your end goal. Just like with illegal immigration, the end goal is not to unite the children with their parents. The end goal is to have open borders.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is. And the end, you know, with like the Second Amendment, the end goal is to get rid of all the guns that aren't in the government's hands.
Right.
Except they don't want to come out. They know they can't win that.
Right. Exactly. And saying we want everyone to be able to come to, you know, the classic, the libertarian standpoint, which is, oh, everyone should come here with no rules whatsoever. Yeah, no.
Well, you can make an argument that for open borders if you don't have a welfare state.
And you're vetting to make sure that there are people that need to, you know, that aren't, they're not leaving their country because they murdered 143 people.
Well, yeah. I mean, all that aside, I'm just talking about, you know, practicality.
Right.
You can have open borders or you can have a welfare state. You can't have both.
Right.
It doesn't work. All the, you know, criminals are vetting and all that other aside, it almost doesn't matter because you will, and that is the goal. I mean, it doesn't take any thought at all to realize that that overwhelming the system and causing it to break is a tried and true socialist tool.
Yep. Look at healthcare.
Yeah, it's doing exactly what it was intended to do. And the borders thing is just another, you know, tool in that toolbox. That's how they get what they want. Oh, look. It's been an hour.
We meandered pretty well this time.
I think we did.
Yeah, movie and what's wrong with superhero movies and immigration.
Yeah.
And yay guns.
And Stanley Kubrick is overrated.
So Jay's not going to be with us next week.
That's right.
No, I will be out of town. Sorry.
We need to wrangle up a co-host. I have some ideas. Or one idea.
That's a good idea.
T-bolt. Okay. Yeah.
Draft. It's the draft T-bolt movement.
It's been too long. And actually, we've had other listeners like, hey, how's T-bolt? Right. Like, you know, have him back on.
Yes, it has been
requested. He's funny.
Brita.
Yeah. You need to
out of the basement.
Well,
you're gonna
we'll see how good he is.
You're going to take the shackles off and let him up out of the basement.
We'll see how good he is during the week. We'll see.
Let him out of the gimp suit.
Oh God!
And now you've got that image in your head, don't you?
Thank you, Jay.
Everybody, all our listeners just said, "Ugh."
Okay. Well, good night, everybody.
All right,
and have a great week.